in the front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, I understand, I love you, but so much as, without so much as uttering a word. God said to the angel, touching his sleeve gently, get some rest tomorrow. God said, I can't. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand up in the shower. The angel circled the model of the mother very slowly. It's too soft, he sighed, but tough, God said excitedly. You can imagine what this mother can do or endure. Can it think? Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise, said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek. There's a leak, he pronounced. I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model. God said, it's not a leak, it's a tear. What is it for? It's for joy, it's for sadness, it's for disappointment, it's for pain, it's for loneliness and pride. There's something special about mothers. You know, we have four special moms here with us this morning, and we have so many of you special moms in the congregation. It's so easy to choose four moms from this church. We have so many great ones. And we're going to have a little interview today. And on my right is Leslie Palmer, and this is Judy Brannigan, and Susan Kutnick, and Thea Cheeseborough. And they're great mothers. And they're going to share a little bit. I'm going to interview them. I'm going to ask them some tough questions. Y'all ready for me to ask some tough questions? I mean, I want them to squirm a little bit. No, we really want to have a great time of just getting into the mind and the life of motherhood. And so I'll start, and I just want to start by them telling their mom story, how they became moms. So, whoever wants to start, tell us your mom story.
I guess I can start. I was kind of like a surrogate mom first because I was highly involved in my nieces and my nephews' lives. People would tell me Happy Mother's Day, or people assumed that my nieces and my nephews were my children because I was all over them versus my sister. And so, you know, I had to learn, of course, healthy boundaries. But then I, you know, met my husband, Vincent Palmer, and he was a divorcee with a child. And so we got married in March of 2014, and I became a stepmother. And that presented its own unique challenges. And I think anybody here who has a blended family knows that every blended family has its unique set of challenges. Mm. But for me personally, I think I've been stretched further in my character than I ever have in my life, because I got married at 34. So I was used to being independent, single, used to doing my own thing, and then overnight, you know, I moved across the country. I'm from Cali, so even coming from California was a big adjustment. But moving here and then all of a sudden being a wife and a mother was a lot. And it's very hard for me sometimes to even share, because it was very hard for me to get a connection to Kennedy. And Kennedy is a beautiful, bright, intelligent girl. She's very loving. But blended families, you know, it's not like the Brady Bunch. It is not like all of a sudden you have all of this magical family dynamic and we're just all happy all the time. There's a lot of challenges within communication, discipline, dealing with, you know, ex-wives and all that beautiful stuff. It's a challenge. It's a beautiful challenge because you know, it's caused me to grow and draw closer to God. So that's a good thing. And then, you know, a few years later, I became a twin mama. So I have my own biological twin 16-month-old babies. And that is my twin story. So, well, my mom's story.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Well, my husband Gene and I were married for about 5 years before we decided to go ahead and have children. We were having a great time those 5 years being single.
I bet you guys were.
Yeah, you know. If you know Gene, you know
yeah,
I was.
You know me.
Yeah. So, it was very exciting to me to be a mom. And, wow. Sorry, I get emotional. But it's a very exciting thing, I think, to be a mom. And I remember one of the things for me when I was just bringing my first child out of the hospital was just, wow, this is a blank slate. You know, what I put into her is, you know, I mean, I just felt like so responsible and all. So because of that, and I mean, I loved being a mom. There were definitely difficult sleepless nights, which was one of the harder things initially. That and working at the same time, I think, was difficult. And so my second child came almost 4.5 years later and was not planned. I was still just trying to be a mom to one child and all. But it was, I mean, I have just really enjoyed being a mom. And now I have, my children are grown, if you don't know me. They are both grown, and we're friends now. It's awesome.
Friends now, awesome.
I guess most of you know that I was a mother, or am a mother, to 3 sons, but some of you may not know that I actually have a daughter. I gave birth to 4 children. My daughter, I was not planned. I had her when I was 21, and she was placed for adoption at birth. I found her, I guess it's been 11 years now, and we're best friends. She lives in Mount Dora, and when I think of my relationship with her early on, in those early years of knowing her, the mothering instinct is so strong. I always felt like when I would talk to her, naturally I felt like her mom, like we should just connect just like that. But for her, it was more of a process because she has a mom and a dad and was raised in a wonderful home. And I know all of them. We all have a wonderful relationship, and I respect them greatly for how they raised her and the way they took care of her. But that's my first child. And then I also have 3 boys. My first husband, we were married 4 years before we decided that it was time to have kids. And all 3 of them were pretty much planned down to the day. Those of you that know me know that I plan, I'm super organized, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes me, to a fault. But my husband at the time was traveling a lot with work, and so we had to, like, do those kinds of things that you actually pay attention to your cycle and those kinds of things and figure out which day you're going to be available. And so he had to travel, actually. He had to travel, actually, and we conceived Ben that weekend. But my boys are, my daughter is 30, I'm 57. Rebecca is 36, Ben is 30, Jared is 28, and Ethan is 27. Mm-hmm. And we chose to have them close because in my family, we were 1 year after the other, and I liked it. My husband, at the time, Bob is his name, they were like 5 and 10 years apart, and we just didn't want to do that. And for me, my goal as a mom, my relationship with my mom was kind of challenging early on. I love my mom dearly, and she was a wonderful mom, but she was not nurturing, and there wasn't a lot of communication, warmth, and conversation. And I vowed before I had my children that I was going to be a different kind of a mom. And so my goal was always to strive to know them and for them to know me and to have great conversation. And that has just paid off greatly now that they're adults. So that's my story.
Thank you.
My story's a little bit like Leslie's. I got married and became a mom. I married Harold right away to two boys. And I remember we were in the apartment and Harold was on his way home from work and the boys started moving the furniture. And I said, what are you doing? And they said, Dad's coming home. And I said, so why do you have to move the furniture? And they said, because we're gonna wrestle. And I said, oh. So, you know, there was a lot to learn. I mean, the learning was just a lot to learn. And that gives you an insight into not only that, it was boys, and they did. He opened that door and rigadoom, bam, they were all over the place. But it was different. It was different because, you know, they did have a mother who was here, who was active in their lives, and they didn't want their dad to marry again. They wanted their dad to remarry their mom. Mm. And so that creates its own special problems. And even within the extended family, I was very different. And so that created its own special needs. But then after about 4 years, we had Aaron. And I was over the moon excited. I did pray for a girl first. Because since we had the two boys, I did not want them to feel like, oh, now Dad has another son and he's not going to remember us and things like that. And so I asked God for a girl. And I remember when she was born, I just shouted, thank you, God, thank you, God. Mm. I was so excited. And the next morning, I held her and I sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness, in my room. I did that with Philip too, but I was just very, very excited. And it's been quite a journey. I realized that being a mom, being a parent, we all have our own individual journey. And I knew I was going to need a lot of help. There was no question in my mind because I came from a broken family. And, you know, I guess we all come from dysfunctional families, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? I wanted life for my children and even my stepchildren to be different from what mine was. Mm. And I had no idea the journey that God was going to take me on. But I am incredibly grateful for it now.
The journey now, right? Hey, can you scoot back a little bit? I think we maybe get some feedback.
Oh.
Just scoot back just a little bit. Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you for sharing your mama stories. And it's great to share about our lives. I didn't know a lot of that, you know, about you guys. And it's good to tell our stories and our background and not only where we are now, but how we got here. You know, so I have another question. What is the greatest joy for you in being a mom? Your greatest joy? Who wants to take that one first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
My greatest joy, as I was sharing with Laura during the break, and I'm going to cry just because I love my boys. My greatest joy is the relationship that I have with them. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I made a vow before I even had my first child, my first son, that I would be so different than my mom, that I wanted to, you know, be nurturing and there for them. And so over the years, when they were little, you know, diffusing arguments or working through problems, there was always family conversation. You know, if they were having trouble between each other, we'd get in the living room, just the three of us, and I'd mediate, and they would have to talk out what happened. Mm. And if I was the problem, countless times I would go to them and say, okay, what did I do wrong? Obviously, you're mad at me. Let's talk through this. And there were apologies and tears and all kinds of things. But all of those things and my being vulnerable with them, and they... Before I married Frank, who was my second husband, I decided that I was going to tell each one of my boys my whole life story individually. I wanted them to know me from the beginning to where I was now, because I did not know my mom or my dad, and my dad is now gone, but I just wanted them to know who I was. I didn't want them to have questions about things, and I you could tell them anything about me, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and they would not raise an eyebrow because they would know. Mm. And because of that, I fostered that over the years. Now they're young, they're men, and there's great confidence and trust in our relationship. They can come to me with their relationships with their wife, their girlfriends, their struggles in life, and there's no fear and there's no hesitation.
Wow.
And man, I love that. Mm. Gosh, I love that. That is my greatest treasure, is my friendship with
wow.
my boys.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. That's great.
Well, I'll go next because that's the first thought that came to my mind was a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for getting teary-eyed because that way I'm not the only one who makes me feel better. But
everybody cry.
It is. It's definitely relationship. And I remember often thinking, I love every stage that my kids go through. I loved it when they were infants, and then they were toddlers, terrible twos, you know, it was okay and all. But it was just so neat seeing them develop and grow. And then get older where you can really begin to relate to them, and and just the relationship. I think that's why when I ended with my mom story, I said, and now they're my friends, because it is all about that relationship and being able to be real with them. And as they get older, they do know us, and they know our faults. They know all about us, and it's just great to be loved and accepted by them too. And you are loving and accepting them. And I just feel like you are always a mom. You're always a mom because you always have that relationship.
Awesome.
Well, I'm going to piggyback on that and talk about the relationship. I have a wonderful relationship with Aaron and Philip, and we've worked really hard at that. But I think I must have been a hard nut to crack because God gave me stepchildren first. And because my greatest joy came from my stepson.
Mm. Mm.
It was a hard relationship. There were times when he wouldn't even go on vacation with us. But about 2 or 3 years ago, and he's in his early 40s now, he said to me, I have the career I have today because of you. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you told me that I needed to figure out how much money I wanted to make legitimately and and go after a career that provided that. That young man now makes close to six figures. It blew my mind. I had no idea that anything I said or did made any difference in his life.
Wow.
Being a stepmom, I kind of felt a little like Joseph. I mean, I'm sorry, but can you imagine being a stepdad to God's son? I mean, it's just like, I can't do anything right. But it was hard. But to have somebody turn around and respect you, to show love and gratitude to you when they already have a mom, and you've been through those things with them, is huge. It was an amazing day that he told me that. Mm. I remember where I was sitting. We were in Jacksonville in my mother-in-law's house. I mean, I remember the afternoon. It was a joyous day. It was God going.
Amen.
Thank you.
Mm. Mm. Wow, thank you, Dean.
Well, I feel like I'm new in my motherhood journey because, you know, as a stepmother, Kennedy already has. She has an incredible mother who's, she's great with Kennedy. And so even, you know, my first Mother's Day, you know, no one really told me Happy Mother's Day because it's almost like you're not a real mom. And as stepmother, yes, we do a lot. we are, you know, we do have many sacrifices we make and we care for these children. But my twins, I felt like, you know, I think my greatest joy is really the simple things, kind of like what Judy shared about just each stage, because even if I blow bubbles with them, they are excited. They are screaming, they're jumping, like the bubbles are fantastic. And you know, even if I'm having a really hard day, because being a stay-at-home mom, you know, can be very monotonous, and you know, you just feel like I'm doing dishes again, laundry again, time to do this again. But you know, there's so much joy in being able to see the first steps, you know, hear the first words. I don't care what kind of day I'm having, when my son starts cracking up, and I don't know what, sometimes I don't even know why he's laughing, but, you know, it makes me laugh, it makes me happy, and even my daughter just coming, and she just plants a kiss on me just because, and she's coming up like this. It makes me really happy, so I just love, you know, the little things that my kids do, because I felt like I was a strange mother, because when my children were born, you know, all these people told me during my pregnancy, oh, when your children are born, you're gonna feel this love like you never felt before, it's gonna be fantastic, and I'm like, okay. And my kids were born and I was kinda like, oh, they're here. Like, I didn't have that automatic connection and this, you know, fantastic heaven opening experience when my children were born. So I was I'm a weird mother, but you know, it's everyone's different. You know, I had to really adjust into my role as being a twin mom, and really just the infant years was really a blur. I think I was like in survival mode, because between, you know, trying to breastfeed twins and just no sleep back.
All right, we're gonna get to the challenges in a minute. Yeah. We'll get there.
Challenges, lots of challenges, but yes, those are the joys.
Amen. Yeah. And enjoy the bubbles being a hit, because teenagers don't really.
That's not that easy.
They don't
make
care about
happy.
Bubbles. Do you teenagers? No. That's right. So okay, what's your greatest challenge of being a mom? We talked about joys, but what's the greatest challenge?
I'll go. Okay. Is my microphone working?
Yes.
It is? Okay. Thanks. I can't hear it. I think the greatest challenge for me, I mean, it's different at different ages. I think early on, it's fatigue and things like that. But, yeah, as time goes on, I think it goes back to that you are always a mom. And the biggest challenge for me has been really just trusting God with my kids, as life takes them through the ups and the downs and through hard times, and just not understanding some of those hard times, and being able to trust God and trying to help them trust God. I mean, one of the things that we had, although Tyler, he was still pretty young, but my son Tyler, at 11, we found out he had a chronic illness that he will always deal with for the rest of his life. And he has some pretty hard times. He's had a lot of health issues because of that, and especially as he had to move to different cities just trying to get the health care set up. And it's hard to watch them, to know, like, to know that he's in pain and having to go to work and having to, you know, it's just difficult. Everything in you just wants to make their life perfect. And you can't anymore when they're old. I mean, you have a lot of control when they're young, but not when they're older. So that's a hard thing. It's really helped me to deepen my relationship with God and dig deep to process it all and to help them too.
Okay. Thank you.
We can relate a lot, I guess. For me, it's similar. My boys are all out on their own. One of them is married. One of them lives in California. Ben lives in California. And Ethan, he travels a lot. When he's working in Oregon. And my kids are not believers. My boys, my daughter, she was raised Catholic. But my boys, I can't talk to them about their faith. I can't. I mean, I can, but to them, that's not where they get their strength. So for me, I I do my best when I can to interject my faith, my belief for them, or my prayer for them. And that's challenging because, I mean, for obvious reasons, I want to be able to impart what I know and who God is. Mm. The other thing is that the mom thing, you know, you always want to be their mom, and sometimes they can hardly stand it. it's kind of knowing when to step back for me and let them be adults. You know, they don't always want to hear mom's advice. I mean, I have to remember, too, that they've now been out of the house for this many years. They've now been making their own personal decisions this many years. They're all financially responsible, and you know, they're doing great in all those aspects. And I just need to just be quiet.
Amen. Amen.
It's a hard thing, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Not for us men, right? We can be quiet with the best of them, right?
We were talking about that the other day. Oh, being quiet.
Well, you know, along the same lines, when we talk about challenges of being a mom, old school, new school, is it easier being a mom today than back in the day? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think it's different, but I don't think it's necessarily more difficult. And I think that that's a line that people have said for years. But because technically, my stepchildren and my children were kind of born, you know, 10, 15 years apart. And so when I bore down to the core issues, and that's when I knew how to at least get a grip on what was going on and get some sane advice, you know, because I had to get a lot of advice. But, and the challenge was not that the times were different. The challenge was I had to become different. Mm. Mm-hmm. My children, all four of them, none of them is the same. And, you know, we sang that song. I wrote it down. I give myself away, you know. And,
so you can use me.
My life is not my own. It belongs to you. Mm. Well, with children, your life is not your own. Mm-hmm. and I had to say, God, you're going to have to help me change to adjust to this. Mm. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't want to change because I knew everything. But you know, have a child and you'll soon learn you know nothing. And so, you know, as I talked to my mother, as I got advice from older people, you know, I remember actually having a conversation with Deb's mother here. I mean, I talk to people all the time about our kids. And so I find that it's not more difficult, it's just different. And you have to be willing to not only embrace the difference, but also to be willing to make the changes you need to make yourself.
Mm. Okay, good. Anybody else want to, what do you think?
Well, I agree with you because I never realized until I became a mother how much I related to my own mother, because my mother, she married young. I was in my 30s, but my mother got married at 19, and you know, she moved to California. She didn't really have any relationships. She was a stay-at-home mom, and she had my sister and I. And, you know, sometimes I share with her just the struggles of being a stay-at-home mom. Like, there's a lot of joys, but she related to everything I was feeling in regards to sometimes you just feel like you're never off. There's always something. You know, being a mom is not like, okay, I'm going to take my break, and from 2 to 4 now I'm on my break. You know, there's always something to do at home. And I do feel like the society may be different and may present different challenges, but the core issues of being a mom, I think so many moms can relate to the challenges, the ups and the downs. So it's overall, I think it's probably the same.
Okay. Anybody want to add to that? Or?
I think I agree. It's different because of technology coming into the home. The things that kids are exposed to
Can you guys hear?
Are different.
You can't hear?
No. That's why I still feel like the mic isn't working.
I
can hear my
voice.
Now I can
hear my voice. There you go. There you go. Resurrect.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. I think it's different, but not necessarily harder, because each time, every stage, every whatever era has its own challenges. But I think the technology coming in now into people's home is bringing kids, is putting them where they're exposed to a lot very early on. So you just have to learn how to meet that challenge.
Can I just say something about that as far as technology is concerned? When the boys were with us, the young boy down the street got a phone of his own. And it wasn't cell phones then, sorry. It's back in the dark ages. He just got a regular phone in the house. And so my stepson came home and said, you know, Cindy has a phone in his room, and why can't I have a phone in my room? And I said, what's his last name? He said, Gargiulo. I said, oh, that's why, because your last name is Cheeseboro. I mean, you know, this is my household, that is their household. And like Judy said, you know, whatever you decide for your household is your household. And Harold and I decided, you know what, nobody is going to tell us what our kids have to have. We don't care if everybody in the world has one. So we know what we're trying to build. And so that was our core right there. Anyway.
We know what we're trying to build. That's a good segue into Deuteronomy 6. Yes. We talk about, you know, Moses talked about loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and pressing the love of God on your children, talking about them when you sit at home, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. You know, he's talking about building a spiritual atmosphere in the home. How did you guys strive to imitate Deuteronomy 6 in your own motherhood?
Start whatever. Okay. Again, I think it's different at different ages, but first of all, the main precedent, the main underlying principle, I think, is you can't give what you don't have. You can't help your children have a close relationship and a connection with God if you don't have it. So when they're 3 years old, you might be telling them about how God created the light and the darkness, and you're turning on lights and you're turning off lights and things like that, which I used to do that stuff. And then later, you know, when they're 9 or 10 or 8 or whatever, you might be trying to apply the scriptures to their lives and help them to see how that fits their relationships at school. And then when they're older, you're going through different stages, but the bottom line is you've got to be connected to God and have that depth with God in order to help them. You've got to be using the scriptures in your life to help them to use them in their life. It takes a lot of sacrifice. Gotcha. I do remember when my daughter was in high school, and she would get up really early and go swim before high school even started, and it started at 7:30. I used to get up early to have a quiet time. And anyway, she was struggling because she had to be up so early. And I made myself get up 30 minutes earlier, and I would go over and climb in the bed. I mean, this was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I just remember climbing in the bed with her and going, okay, we're gonna read something from the Bible today before you go to school. Wow. It's a lot of sacrifice, but you have to have that conviction. Mm. So.
Wow, I got it impressed on your heart. That's awesome, thank you. Anybody else wanna share?
Well, the twins are very young, so. You know, we do pray with them every day, and I think something that you said is really key, because Kevin Younger told me, and it was before I had kids, that the way that you could be the best mother, the best wife, the best individual, he said, you start with having a great relationship with God, your own personal quiet time. That is the best thing you can do. And it is so true, because I do feel like a lot of things are caught and not taught, because you can, I don't know how many times you've heard somebody say, oh, you can tell me that, but you don't do it. Like, so what's the point? But if someone really sees you living your life according to a certain standard, it really does make an impression. And so especially coming from a family that's blended, you know, it's really important for, you know, my husband, for Vincent and I, to make sure that in our household that Kennedy can see Jesus in our lives and in our marriage, because we have our problems, we have our struggles, you know, nothing's perfect, but how we deal with it, you know, when God is your foundation is different. And she told us that once. She said, how come you guys never fight? I said, oh, we fight. But I guess because, you know, it's not a crazy fight and we're not throwing things and yelling. I mean, we have a lot of disagreements, but because God is our standard, we handle things differently. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want her, you know, to grow up and just to see a different path, because she sees different things from different households. And she's also learning different things about God. She asks a lot of questions. She's very bright and inquisitive. And about God's existence, because she hears something different. And so it's just nice to be able to share our convictions, to show her our lives, and also to teach her, but it's still her relationship with God. I really wanted to impress that on her, that yes, I feel this way, but you know that she, I don't want her to ever feel like she has to do something to make us happy or to please anybody else, but I want her to have a genuine relationship with God. So it's just pushes my husband and I to fight to truly be an example, not just for ourselves because we love God, but so we can show it to our children. Mm.
As Harold Cheeseborough would say, those are some good groceries.
You know, having children with disabilities, sometimes you have children that have challenges. And you can think, you can buy into what the world tells you, which is, you know, maybe they're not going to be as successful or whatever. But God always makes a way. And success is not just one thing or another. Who knows what it could be. But I do like what Judy talked about with the different stages. When we were going through therapy with Aaron, and it was 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. And one of the things she had to do, she was eight. She had to get to the point where she was running 3 miles a day. She got to that point, and she actually used to run backwards because I couldn't run as fast as she could, and she would talk to me. But I remember there was a sunbeam that came through the trees because it was early morning, and I said to her, and I started singing the song, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day in every way to try to please him at home, at school, at play. And I decided that therapy or not, we were going to inject God into everything. Mm. And so I would say, run, Erin, run. And she would run towards the sunbeam and twirl around. You know what I'm saying? So it was things like that that Rebecca Anderson once said, when you hear the leaves or the wind blowing through the trees and hear the sound of the leaves, it's nature applauding God. Mm. And so, you know, I did. I listened to a lot of people and got a lot of stuff. And I remember that one time you took your sons to see the comet. Was that?
A meteor shower.
A meteor shower. Well, it had to be, what time of night?
We went in the middle of the night.
Yeah, y'all went in the middle of the night. Yeah. I thought it was crazy. I did. I thought, Susan, what are you doing? It's dangerous. Da, 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 da. I had all these reasons why it was not a good idea. But Susan knew her boy's interests. She knew what would connect them to her. God said, teach them the way they should go when they're old. We have no idea when that stage is. And so when one of the planets was close to the Earth and they had a telescope out at Challenger, I dragged Aaron and Philip out there too. But you know what I'm saying? So you know what I'm saying? But I made that adjustment. But I learned that from Susan.
Wow.
And so being connected with one another makes a huge difference. So there you go.
Well, thank you. This morning, I've seen the trees and I've seen the leaves and heard the applause, and they're applauding for you. I appreciate you guys sharing your heart and just the golden nuggets about motherhood. And for those future moms out there, do you have any words of advice for them as we close? Any words of advice? Yeah.
Listen to them. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. And yes, as when they're young, yes, you do need to be a mother, not a friend, you know, that whole saying. But listen to them and don't try to force them as they're growing up to be or what you think they should be or the path that they should take, just listen to them and let them dream and just teach them as much as you can while they're young about God. And like Thea said, I firmly believe, you know, we don't know what God has planned for any of us, and we just have to have faith in that. And so just love the heck out of them through the process.
Love the heck out of them and listen, right? Yeah. Okay, all right, good. Good advice. Well, yeah.
I would just say that it is okay to not have it all together. Because I think sometimes you feel like, you know, I do feel like many moms out there are superwomen just because of all the things moms juggle. But it's okay to not have it all together. I really feel like it's important to invest in yourself. It's hard to pour out of an empty cup. So have self-love for yourself. And also to really cherish each moment. My kids are only 16 months, and I'm like so shocked. I'm like, oh, they're growing so quick. And just to really, you know, cherish every stage, and because they're not always going to want to hug you forever like my son does now. They're probably going to be like, Mom, get out of here.
They'll be embarrassed at some point possibly to hug you. And then they come back again. Yeah. Then they're okay again. Mm-hmm. My thought is that God is faithful.
Amen.
He is faithful, and he's always with you as you strive to do and be a mom.
Amen.
Good and mine is, God is God, and I am not. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope in the future. And that hope in the future comes when I'm close to God, and I'm allowing him to make the changes that need to be made as he has me on this journey of motherhood. And remember, it's in Acts 17 where it says, God sets up the exact times and places, not me. I don't need to be trying to orchestrate everything like we heard. But trusting in God, not releasing our children to whatever, you know, I'm not saying that. But I am saying having a strong faith like these women talked about and realizing there are stages and there will be changes. And sometimes the biggest change will be in you.
Hmm. Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you for your wisdom and your. I know it's not easy to come up before your family, but you guys were courageous, and thank you. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wow. At this time, we're going to close with communion, and every week, we come to remember our Savior. We come to remember him and all that he has been for us. And I just want to read a scripture. It says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Part of our motivation can be and should be us looking around to the great cloud of witnesses. Those brothers and sisters in Hebrews 11, for example, that have gone before us. And so we can look around as we run our race and see their lives, see their faith, see what they endured. We can also look back when we run. And we can look back at the past that could hinder our running, get us tripped up. We can look down at our own lives and our flaws and our challenges and our shortcomings
And that can trip us up, if you will. We can also look up as we run and question God. Well, God, why am I here? Why is this in my life? Why isn't this out of my life? God wants us to remember that in this race, there is one way to look, and that's forward. And that's fixed on Jesus. If you run like this, if you run like this, if you run like that, now you can look at the cloud of witnesses, but if you look at your troubles and your trials and all these things, it keeps us from running the race. And I love what Paul said, fix our eyes on Jesus. That means look away from all else and fix one's gaze upon and see distinctively our author and perfecter of our faith, the originator, the founder, the prince, the leader, the one who pioneers the way for us to follow. The perfecter, the finisher, the completer, bringing the process to its finish. And I love finishing a race. And I remember a 5K when I didn't want to finish. I was looking for a way out. But the encouragement, the fellowship, the drive, the eyes set on things that are ahead of me. That's how we need to run our race as Christians. And so communion is about focusing and fixing our eyes on Jesus, remembering him as we run this race. This way, when we're tempted to look up and doubt, or tempted to look out and criticize and get distracted, we're tempted to look in and get self-focused and pity our situation. When we're tempted to look back at how things should have been or could have been, it distracts us. Let's look to Jesus. This is what we're communion and coming together and celebrating his life and celebrating the way he finished. This is what we can do every week and what we can do every day. Amen. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you've given us your incarnate self to focus on, to fix on, to fix our eyes on, to meditate on, to remember. And Father, no matter what we're going through in our lives, and we all have struggles, we all have challenges, we all have waves in our seas, Father, I pray that this time, at this moment, we can focus on the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, Jesus. And Father, it is great to be able to have discipleship in our lives. That, Father, it's not about a program. It's not about a thing to do. It's about who we focus on. And that's your son, Jesus. And, Father, today, as we celebrate moms, we celebrate motherhood, Father, we also celebrate following your son, Jesus, and remembering him. We love you. We thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.